We are going to conclude our whole series of matters of life and death. Today I'm going to talk about knowing God's will and how knowing God's will is a matter of life and it's a matter of death. Now, I'm pretty sure. Matter of fact, let me see the hands of people who have asked this question. Lord, what is your will in my life? Many have asked that question. And see, that's good. You should ask that question. A lot of devout people have asked that question. You know, what is your will for me in my life, Lord? But, you know, sometimes we ask that and maybe for mundane things like, well, Lord, what is your will for my career? What is your will where I live? And it's important things, too. Like, Lord, what is your will for who I need to marry? What church I need to belong to? These are very important things. But it's also very important to know what God's will is. And I said before, this is a matter of life and death. Because in Ephesians 5, starting at 15, ending at verse 17, it says, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. So not to know the Lord's will is paramount or equivalent to being a foolish person. Matter of fact, we just read, or Charles just read to our hearing, Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, this is Jesus talking, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. But only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So you understand, it's a matter of life and death. When I say matter of life and death, I'm not just saying, OK, death and I'm dead forever. I mean, you know, just oblivion. But where you're going to spend eternity, where are you going to spend eternity? I'm going to talk about two facets of God's will. First, there's God's provincial, or I should say providential will, providential will. God acts providentially in our lives. When we read like verses like Romans 1 and 10, it says, in my prayers at all times, and this is Paul talking, and I pray that now at last by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. And the book of James teaches us about God's provincial will, God's providence, or providential will, I should say. James 4, 13 and 15, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the impetus of that is this. When we go and when we do things, we should not just say, okay, I'm going to wake up and go here and go there. I mean, we do that by habit. But James says we should say, if it's the Lord's will, we will do this. We will do that. If it's the Lord's will. I think it's good to put that in practice. And, you know, sometimes at work, we say that, and sometimes we may get funny looks when we say that L word or the G word, like Lord or God. But we should make that a habit in our lives. We should say, Lord, if it's your will, I will go and do this and go and do that. You know, we set off on a long journey. Lord, if it's your will, I will do this or that. Lord, it's your will, I want to accomplish this. I want to accomplish that. Always keeping in mind when you do that, that, Lord, I am turning this over to you. And I want to do whatever it is according to your will and not my will. So it's a way to keep yourself humble and it's a way to keep yourself focused in God's will. So that's God's providential will. Now, the second facet I want to talk about is God's proclaimed will. What you can read about, what you can open the Bible and you can read what God's will is. For instance, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ to you. So in everything give thanks. What does that mean? That means I should be a thankful person. I should not always go to God in prayer asking for something. When I go to God in prayer, I need to thank God. I need to thank him for all my blessings. And it says in everything, give thanks. Well, I'm not going to give thanks if I'm in trouble. I'm not going to give thanks to this. You know, you can look at the silver lining in any situation. I'm not going to give thanks. I was in a car accident, but I'm going to give thanks. I didn't get killed. I walked away. So in everything, you can find a way to give thanks. That is the will of God. Also, 1 Peter 2:15, it says, for so is the will of God that by well-doing, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. So what is he saying? I should be engaged in well-doing. Why? That is the will of God. And it goes back to, once again, 7:21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of God. You see why that's so important for us to know. Now, we have a lot of things in Scripture that is God's will. Matter of fact, Scripture is God's will. And when I don't study, when I don't read, and when I don't put it forth, then yes, I'm going to be like a fish out of water. So the key thing is, how do I find God's will? How do I know what God's will is in my life? You need to focus on his proclaimed or revealed will that you can read about. So that is, we need to study diligently to learn what God has revealed to us. Because if you don't embrace what he has revealed to us and put it in practice, then what difference does it make to seek areas of God's will you don't know about when you do have the will of God? You know, that unknown will, those hidden books or whatever. I need to obey what's here already instead of go searching for something I don't know about. I can know the will of God according to Scripture. Now, the value of focusing on his proclaimed will is we will not be ignorant of what is essential for us to know, because I can read it. We can avoid choices that clearly are contrary to God's will. Well, how you know it's contrary to God's will? Because it says it right here in the book. It says it in the Bible. Therefore, I'll know it's contrary to God's will. You know, I can't go rob a bank. Why? The Bible says, thou shalt not steal. It's right there. That's God's will. Thou shalt not steal. So I can't say, well, I don't know if God wants me to steal or not. No, he says so. He says to me not to do it. How do you know that? Because I read it. It's revealed. A lot of times, brothers and sisters in Christ, if we simply put to practice what's already written, what we can clearly read, I guarantee you, and I've said this over and over and over again, a lot of your life questions will be answered. They will be answered, because now you have a foundation by which to make decisions in your life, because now I know what the will of God is. Why? I've read it, I've applied it, I've meditated on it, and, you know, I'm going to put it to practice. So as things come upon me, when major decisions come upon me, a lot of times I'm already going to know what God's will is. Why? Because he's already revealed it. If I don't study, if I want God to spoon feed me his will, if I close my eyes and wait for signs and wait for something on the walls, or wait for it to rain so something to form a holy figure, then I'll be waiting a long time and I will make some very bad decisions. Very bad decisions. Anybody ever watch Deal or No Deal? I mean, how many have watched that show? There's no skill involved. It's just probability. That's all. And it's amazing when people get on there and they say, this is God's will. I know the $1 million is in this thing. I was watching it the other day. And this, I say, you know what? I'm going to use that as an image lesson for this. Now, if you know, I'm not going to go into the details, but I'm simply going to say this. The person didn't know what they had in their little briefcase. It was, it could have been $1 million. It could have been $5,000. Those are the two choices. Now, the quote unquote bank offers you money for your briefcase because, you know, it's a 50-50 chance. The offer was like $580,000. So you either take the $580,000 or take a chance and get $1 million or get $5,000. And the woman was jumping up and down, and her family was like, take the money, take the money. She says, no, God has revealed it to me. It is God's will. I know it. It's in this case. And the host said, you sure you don't want to switch just to make sure? No, no, no. It's God's will. Open up, it's $5,000. So she lost, $575,000. And she went home with five. When you pay the taxes, she probably will go home with 100 after you pay all the taxes. And so, you know, so you have to be careful. When you put God's will to these mundane things in life, is God's will for me to drive straight or drive an angle? Is God's will? See, we can get kind of ridiculous with that. Where instead we should study, apply, and let that govern our lives. And you'd be amazed how the decisions you make in life will be based on the will of God because it's in your heart. Not because it's unknown, not because you don't know. So other things we should do is, yes, we should ask advice. We should ask advice. We should ask God for wisdom. In James 1, 5 and 8, it says, if a man lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, and God would give it to him liberally. In other words, God is more than able to give you that wisdom, and more than willing to give you wisdom, because that's his will, that you have wisdom so you can know the wisdom or will of God. And also, sometimes, yes, we do have to, we don't know. And that's why we pray. And we have to allow the door to close on some things that we want. And maybe wait for another opportunity or take another alternative. But always constantly praying. Yeah, there are situations like that. It's not just going to come. So if he closes the door on your choice, look for alternatives. And once again, stop looking for God to spoon feed you for every aspect of your life. Matter of fact, he's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. This is right here. All you have to do is study it. But we as human beings, we like microwavable religion. What is that? We want it instantly. I wish I had instant knowledge. I wish I had the wisdom of Solomon just instantly. Wouldn't that be great? I wouldn't make any silly decisions. You know, I can do it based on wisdom and based on knowledge. But, you know, the more I think about that, the more I realize, well, I can have that level of wisdom if I study and if I apply the word of God to my life. You can have that. Now, I'm going to say this in closing. I'm not going to keep you long. Now, the benefits of knowing God, what are the benefits? Well, the obvious one is eternal life. Because as we read 7:21, going back to that scripture, that everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So what are the benefits of knowing God's will is eternal life. John 10:10 says that Jesus came that we might have life, but not just, as I said before, this is a matter of life and death. Yes, it is. But not just, okay, I'm not going to go to hell, but the life that we're living now, if we know God's will, it says Jesus came that we may have life, but he wants us to have it more abundantly, more abundantly. Not just to exist. The most joyous person in the world or the most joyous person around should be a child of God, should be a Christian. God just don't want us walking around like zombies, all distraught and upset. And, you know, that's not to say that we are going to be impervious to problems in the world. As I said before, as a matter of fact, once you become a child of God, a lot of times that's where most of your problems start. Because you're doing something counter to the world. You may be doing something counter to your family, counter to your job, counter to your workplace. You may be the only light that's in your family, that's in your household. And let me tell you, that is not an easy position to be in. It's not an easy position to be in. But Jesus says he came that we may have life. True life, real life, a life of abundance. And I'm not just talking materialistic life. I'm talking a strong spiritual life, a life that has peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding. You won't get that out in the world. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, familiar scripture. Now every scripture is inspired of God, is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of God might be complete. God wants us to be complete, furnished completely unto every good work. So when you know the will of God, you're now in a position to be furnished completely. Now, why do people not want to seek God's will? Or why do people want to seek God's, quote unquote, unknown will? In some instances, they're looking for loopholes, or they're looking for a justification of what they're doing. So in the last day, when that unbeliever, or that person who simply does not know the will of God, when he realized, when he or she realized, you know, I made a monumental mistake. That person cannot say to God, God, you know what? There was simply not enough evidence for me to truly follow you. You didn't give me enough evidence. But see, that's not the problem, brothers and sisters and friends. That is not the problem. God gives us plenty of evidence. The problem is you simply refuse to believe the evidence that he has supplied. Not that that was not enough. Maybe it was because of pride. Maybe it was because of intellect or what have you. Now, why is it, though, that some don't seek God's will? Well, I've heard a preacher say this. A lot of times people don't come to Bible class or come to service because they're afraid they might learn something. If I learn something, then what? Now I'm accountable to it. See, I can't plead the ignorance issue if I come. Or some simply don't accept what's there. I had a friend, you know, the whole issue of preaching and who should preach, should women preach, et cetera, et cetera. I spent about maybe 2 hours just getting all the scriptures, not my opinion. My opinion didn't matter to a hill of beans. But I gave scripture and I sent it to her. And I said, OK, before I tell you how I feel about the matter, I want you to read these scriptures. And you tell me, based on what you read, what should be your course of action? Well, I didn't hear from the person. Then I called the person up and basically they told me, I don't care what it says. I don't receive it. So, you know, that's going to be the excuse at the end. Well, Lord, I see what that says, but I didn't receive it. I don't receive it. Therefore, I am not held accountable to it. And that was her answer. Now, what is the danger? 2 Thessalonians 2:10 says, not everyone. Now, it says, in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing, they perish because they refuse to love the truth so to be saved. Everyone operates on someone's will. It may be your own will. It may be the will of God. But everybody operates. So you're not neutral. There's no neutral person. No person says, well, you know, I have my own thing. You operate on somebody's will. Now, you either operate on the will of God, there's only two in business, or the will of Satan. Well, I don't acknowledge Satan. You don't have to. Just operate on your own will. When you're outside the will of God, guess whose will you're in? Well, I don't acknowledge him. You don't have to. He don't care. He's deceitful. And if I can deceive you to move away from God's will and operate on your own will. See, in the last day, I cannot, you know how they do in Congress or whatever, when they pass a bill. Now, you either vote nay or yay. But if it's something that you don't really want to vote on because it may give you a bad image or you just don't know what the public may think, you say, well, I vote present. So that's sort of like you're neutral. See, I can't do that in the last day. I cannot vote present. I cannot have my get out of jail card says, oh, Lord, get out of jail. Get out of jail. I'm free. So I can't say, Lord, I didn't know what your will was. The Bible says we are without an excuse in Romans, the first chapter, because he's made himself known. He's made his will known. You say he hasn't hidden anything from us. So why then do people simply don't seek? Well, they want to be ignorant. Well, I don't accept that. Or as my friend said, I don't receive it. Jesus says, as many as receive me, gave he the power to become the children of God. When I mean receive, I don't mean receive and takes over your mind. You get the Holy Ghost. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about accepting what's there. We all have something we operate on. Who you are is the sum total of everything you've learned up to this point, whether it's from me, from Brother Johnson, from school, from whoever, from friends, from family. You are the sum total of all that you have learned and all that you have accepted as truth. That is your foundation. But see, you have to understand, God is not going to judge you based on your foundation. He's going to judge you based on the words that's written in this book. And if the words written in this book is contrary to where you stand, then you will be lost. You will be lost. That's why it's a matter of life and death. Matter of life and death. That you know the will of God. In conclusion, our goal should be to stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, according to Colossians 4 and 12. Stand perfect and complete. Now, well, there's only one perfect person, that's Jesus Christ. A lot of times in Scripture, when you see the word perfect, it means mature. Mature. It means at a certain point in your life. Yes. No, everybody's at a different spiritual level. That's an understanding. But there is an understanding that at some point, we need to move from point A to point B. I can't stay in a tub of milk all of my Christian life. I can't say I didn't know. I can't come and just wait for somebody to teach me something. I need to study on my own. Because who knows? I might make a mistake and you get the wrong idea. I might say something. I've been known to do that. Believe it or not, I know that's a shocker. But I've been known to misquote scripture or say, go to Matthew 82 and 5. You believe some people are actually doing that. But I've made mistakes. So you should be like the Bereans and go behind me to see what I'm saying is so and is according to the will of God. That's our standard. Brothers and sisters in Christ, for truth is the will of God. What's written? Everything in life. The standard should be what's the will of God, not family. Not friends, and not what your so-called belief system is. Should be the will of God. Are you seeking to find a way in the will of God? Are you seeking to find a way in the will of God as it pertains to the plans of your life? How many have set goals before in their life? I have. You sit down, you want to set some goals. And there may be some wonderful goals. There might be some great plans that you have ahead of you. There's several things I want to accomplish. There's several things I want my children to accomplish. And I want them to make that a part of their goals. Or beat it into them. And that's wonderful. It's good. But I also must say, now, does this goal that I want to accomplish, is it in accordance with God's will? And see, God is not trying. Understand this. God is not trying to mess up your life. He's not trying to throw a monkey wrench in your happiness. He's not trying to keep you down. He wants to lift you up. And if what you're doing is not according to God's will, no matter how wonderful it might seem or how much, quote unquote, temporary happiness it may bring you, it's going to bring you down. It's going to bring you down. In every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing, why do they perish? Because they refuse to love the truth and be saved. So are you seeking to find a way in the will of God? John 3:16. You know what the will of God is? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is not God's will that any should perish. He wants people to be saved and have everlasting life. That's why he gave us a roadmap. You know, we will be serving a cruel God if he stopped at, the Gospels. If the Bible stopped at John, for instance, and then God said, or Jesus said, okay, I'm gone. You're on your own. If you mess up, too bad. Well, what do we do? What do we do? What if God didn't send the Comforter? And even what if the Bible simply stopped at the Book of Acts? Book of Acts is great. Book of Acts tells a alien sinner how to become a Christian. Everything after that, all the epistles, the Book of Romans, all the way to Revelations, basically tell you how to stay saved. What if that was not there? Then we would make mistakes, we'd be lost and so forth. But it is there. John 3:16. It is not God's will that any should perish. He wants you to come to repentance. And the reason why I know he wants you to come to repentance is because of the ultimate sacrifice that he made in his son, Jesus Christ. There is no comparison, no sacrifice greater than that that has ever been done by a human being. Jesus came to die for your sins who had no sin. Now, what do you have to do? You have to believe that. You have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the one to save you from your sins. He is not some just a prophet that, you know, he's not a lunatic. He is for real. And every historian will say, yes, there was a Jesus Christ. But don't get into the whole mindset to say, oh, he's just a prophet. No, he's God. He's God. You have to believe that. That belief should cause you to act. And once you believe it, you have to act upon it. You have to realize that, okay, I'm outside the will of God. What is sin? Sin is doing something contrary to the will of God. It is doing something contrary to the law of God. And simply being outside of Christ and not being a baptized soul is out of the will of God. How do you get into the will of God? How do you obey the gospel? Because in 1 Thessalonians, it told us that God is going to take vengeance on all those who do not believe in Jesus Christ and who have not obeyed the gospel. And he's going to punish them with everlasting fire. So, yes, I have to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I have to repent, confess his name. I put in the water grave of baptism, arise and walk in the newness of life. All things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Brother Tony, is my mind going to change and I'm just going to be like a Mother Teresa walking around? Absolutely not. Now the work begins. Work begins. The true work begins. The journey to life now starts. And the beautiful thing about the journey to life, you're in the protective hand of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're in Christ where all spiritual blessings are found. Now that's an invitation for you to be in the will of God. And yes, it is a matter of life and death. It is not just a club. It is not one of many choices that you can make for eternity. It is the only choice that you can make for eternal life. It's to be a child of God. That invitation has been put forth to you. Any member here who requires prayer, you too can come forth as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.